Grace and peace to you in God, who is mystery, who is incarnation, who is spirit. Amen. I have a poem in the bulletin board in my office called God Says Yes to Me. It's an old favorite, one that I have carried around with me for years from office to office and bulletin board to bulletin board. It was written by an American poet and preacher's daughter, Kaylin Hout, and published in 1995. And in 2002, it was included in the Library of Congress project Poetry 180, a poem a day for American high schools. And I'm gonna share the screen here and show you the poem as I read it, because I always find it so much easier to be able to see a poem as I listen to it. There we go. God says yes to me. I asked God if it was okay to be melodramatic, and she said yes. I asked her if it was okay to be short, and she said it sure is. I asked her if I could wear nail polish or not wear nail polish, and she said, honey, she calls me that sometimes. She said, you can do just exactly what you want to do. Thanks, God, I said. And is it even okay if I don't paragraph my letters? Sweet cakes, God said. Who knows where she picked that up? What I'm telling you is yes, yes, yes. I was reminded of this poem as I prepared to preach on today's lesson. These are certainly not words that we can imagine the Apostle Paul writing, but the idea that God's first and last word to us in the person of Jesus Christ is yes, is one of the claims that Paul makes in the second letter to the Corinthians. Yes, you are loved. Yes, you are accepted. Yes, you are welcomed into the body of Christ. It is our second week reading from this letter, and I'm going to back up a bit to take a look at its context. It's an interesting letter in part because Paul wrote it when his relationship with the Corinthians is in a difficult place. Other preachers and teachers had come to Corinth after Paul had left, and they criticized Paul's teaching. Paul was offended by their criticism, and he seems to believe the Corinthians are questioning his competence. Paul had written them another letter between the two that we have, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and it was an angry letter, apparently. He refers to it as the letter of tears. Paul has considered coming to Corinth, but has changed his mind, perhaps more than once, because he fears a visit at this time would be too difficult. But now some people are offended that he has put off his visit and are accusing him of wishy-washy, vacillating. And so Paul begins in the section that we read today by rushing in to defend himself. He writes that he and Timothy are not saying yes, yes, and then no, no. In other words, they're not waffling. They're not inconsistent in their message, even though they have decided to put off a visit. Then Paul quickly points beyond himself, as he often does, using the immediate situation to point to a greater truth about God and faith. Even though people do sometimes say yes, no, and maybe, back and forth, uncertain, unclear, the message and promise from God is not unclear and never wavers. Paul says that God's word in Jesus Christ is always yes. The gospel, the good news that we have received from God, is a grace-filled gospel of yes. Yet, too often, that is not the word that we in the church have shared in the world. When you ask people who are not in church to describe church people, one of the things they most often say is that church people are judgmental. Church people are full of rules and conditions and yet hypocritical in their own lives. What too many people see looking at the community of Christians is not grace, but conditional love and provisional acceptance. Why do we do this? Why do we receive a life-changing, life-giving message of grace and love, and then at best keep it to ourselves, or at worst, fence it in with rules and expectations and judgments that keep people away? The good news is good because it always declares God's unswerving affirmation of God's people and the world God loves. The good news is not just news about Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the great yes of God for humankind. Sweet cakes, God said. Who knows where she picked that up? What I'm telling you is yes, yes, yes. Then our reading skips on to chapter 3, where again, Paul moves quickly from a concern about his relationship with the Corinthians to a broader understanding of faith. He begins by talking about letters of recommendation. Just as we use letters of recommendation when we apply for jobs or schools or scholarships, in the ancient world, they used such letters in much the same way. A traveling teacher or preacher might carry a letter from a prior community, commending them and describing why the new community ought to welcome them. Paul exclaims that he surely needs no such letter to bring to the Corinthians. They know him well already. Indeed, Paul continues, the Corinthians themselves are a letter of recommendation for Paul. He was their first teacher, the first to tell them about Jesus, and he carries their original welcome of him wherever he goes. But then Paul takes the metaphor deeper. When Paul talks about letters written on stone and letters written in the heart, he's referring to stories from the Jewish scripture. The words written on stone are the words of the law, the covenant between God and God's people, written by Moses on stone tablets. The words written on flesh refer to the new covenant, a vision shared by the prophets Ezekiel and Jeremiah. These prophets envision a future with God when people will not need to be taught about God because the word of God's covenant, God's law and promise will be written on their hearts. Paul says that he and the people of Corinth have received these promises of God written on their hearts by the Spirit of the living God. Finally, Paul points to his confidence, which he says is not based in his own competence, but in his faith in the unswerving promise of God and the power of the Spirit. The Spirit of the living God writes God's promises in our hearts, not only Paul, but all the believers in Corinth and beyond. The Spirit gives us power to be ministers of the new covenant, the new promise, which is Jesus, the new promise, which is God's eternal yes to us and to the world. So, some of us are beginning a new school year this month. Some of us are going back to work in offices that we haven't seen for a while. While some of us are continuing to do our work, whether paid or volunteer work, from home on our phones and computers. Some of us have lost work due to the pandemic. But all of us continue in these days in a time of unique challenge and anxiety. It's easy for us in these times to shift our focus inward to just getting by day to day and waiting for things to go back to normal. But that's not our call in Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the living God never takes us back, only forward into new life, new reality, new ways of living out the yes of Jesus Christ. Paul's words today remind us that God's word to us, even in the midst of anxiety and uncertainty, is yes. Yes, we have a future filled with hope and love and grace. And we have the power of the Holy Spirit, which frees us to care for one another in ways big and small. To reach out with notes and phone calls to people who are isolated or lonely. To give money or food to people who are hungry, or to join together and pack boxes at a food bank for people in need. We are free to look for the blessings around us and speak aloud our gratitude, the words our hurting world needs to hear, and to be the ones who stay patient and calm when technical challenges arise during our classes and meetings and all those hours we spend on Zoom. We are free to be present to one another's pain and struggle, and maybe to say, "It's helped me to be a part of a community of faith. Would you like to join me for worship sometime?" What if all of us accepted the responsibility that Jesus gave us in our baptism, which is to be a letter of recommendation to the whole world about the good news of God in Christ? What if you could imagine yourself as a walking, talking letter carrying the gospel, written not in ink, but with the Holy Spirit on your heart? Or, in words more familiar to us, what if we all let the light of love put into our hearts by the Spirit shine out the world? Shine, my friends, shine in the way that I know, be for one another and for the world the yes of Jesus Christ. Amen.